Joining us now at our studios is a state representative for District 58A, Christy Purcell. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Jeff.
Boy, you look just a bright eye this morning.
I am shocked to hear that. I had about 5 hours of sleep last night.
And I say that kind of jokingly, in that you had your first real late night. You didn't get out to what, midnight last night?
Yep, we adjourned just a little bit before midnight, but then I have to go from the Capitol over to the state office building, pack up my things, get in the car and drive home. And there was a little bit of blowing and drifting snow, so I was going about 35 miles per hour.
What time did you finally get home?
Right around 1.
Okay.
You know, not a lot of traffic happening at,
right,
that hour, but trying to take it easy because the snow was creating some difficulty on the road.
Yeah, just remember, you campaigned to get that job.
That's right. I am not complaining. I want to be clear. It's the honor of a lifetime.
But let's talk about last night. The big thing last night was a clean energy bill. So why don't you tell us about that? And, I guess we'll start off by saying, midnight last night, was it an active time? Was it, do you just kind of sit around and wait while things go on and then they present it to you all at once?
Yes and no. So there was a lot of action. We have a 24-hour rule for amendments. So we knew that there were about 60 amendments that had been presented for the two bills we heard last night. And then we also had on the docket to make permanent rules for the House floor and then joint rules for the House and Senate. We didn't get to those, so we'll take those up again next week. But the time to just go through the amendments, to let the author of the amendment say why they think this is helpful, and then have some kind of, rebuttal and back and forth. So that time was much more active than after we got through the amendments. Then it was about 3 or 4 hours. So that took, I think, about 4 hours. Then there was like 3 or 4 hours of folks kind of just pontificating, as politicians are known to do. So I kind of took that opportunity. I'll be curious if the piece of legislation that I dropped last night will be the most bipartisan legislation that we'll end up hearing. I tried to get everyone on the Ag Committee. There are 2 holdouts yet, but I think 4 or 5 Republicans, lots of Democrats, to revive a grant program for helping folks start up co-ops, ag co-ops. So I kind of took that time to sort of be shopping around the bill and going talking to my Republican colleagues on the other side of the aisle, inviting them to be on the bill, getting to know folks in the retiring room, introducing myself to Daniels and Farr, who are represent districts that sort of touch mine. So Daniels is down Faribault mm-hmm. way, and Farr is the other side of New Prague. And so I, was listening to the folks talking, but also taking the opportunity to meet some of my colleagues, to get a little bit of work done, too.
And now, getting that work done, do you feel like you accomplished some things? Are you optimistic now? I take it that bill has not been voted on yet.
Nope. Okay. So it was just sort of like getting people to sign on to it, and then you drop it, and then the staff take it from there, and then they sort of officially attribute, who the lead author is, who the co-authors are. So I'll have a handful of Republicans and a handful of Democrats as the authors out the gate. And then it will come up in Ag Committee, I don't know when, at some point. But this is a program from 20 years ago that we're reviving. So,
and having authors from both parties, multiple authors from both parties, that doesn't hurt its chances.
I hope so. And I mean, I think the Ag Committee is a place where we can get a lot of bipartisan work done. That's already been the case, and I hope that continues to be the case. And I'm thrilled with making sure to be working across the aisle. And I got to meet some of my colleagues. Yesterday was a lobby day for the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus, and so I got to meet a couple of constituents who came up to the Capitol. And we don't necessarily agree on the things, but we had a great conversation. I learned a lot in that conversation. Maybe they learned something too. And so it's been really wonderful. This week has seemed like there's just been a lot of people at the Capitol. It is the people's house. So getting to see folks who are supportive of Medicare or Minnesota Care buy-in, 100% clean energy, and the Gun Owners Caucus. I got to meet with folks from all those different groups, just citizens who are there lobbying, and that was really cool.
You know, I talked to a citizen yesterday who will probably be seeing next week. But how much time do you have?
I mean,
when they come up, you've got 4 minutes to state your case, or 10 minutes, or whatever the case may be.
Well, if people are willing and able to like walk with me to committee or walk from committee to someplace else, I don't have committee on Mondays, which means I am absolutely back-to-back slammed Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday when I'm at the Capitol. I did end up sort of chatting with the gun owners fellas longer than I anticipated yesterday, so didn't get to eat lunch until about 3 o'clock. So trying to just sort of balance that, my commitments to being in committee, to checking in with constituents, and also just some taking care of my own needs of like, I need to go to the bathroom. I need to eat some food or drink some water. So, the schedule is wild, but again, not complaining, not complaining.
Christy Purcell is with us, a state representative for District 58A. Let's talk about that clean energy, 100% clean energy by 2024. That bill went through last night.
2040.
That's pretty immediate.
That'd be a 2024. Quick transition, yes.
2040. Did that go through last night?
It did, yes. Mm-hmm. So this is a bill that was worked on long before I got up there, and I can't remember if it had been passed out of the House previously and been stalled in the Senate. The chief author in the Senate, Friends from Mankato, is like just a dog with a bone with this thing. He is like making sure that this passes in his chamber. People ask me what's going on in the Senate. It could be on another planet as far as I know because of the very busy schedule. So I can't remember if they passed it yet or if they're going to pass it in the future.
What does it mean, though? I mean, is this for clean energy for government usage, the state of Minnesota usage? Is this going to be a mandate for all businesses and all individuals?
Yes.
Tell us what it's about.
Yeah. So my understanding is that it's for the whole state of Minnesota. So when there was a climate accord and then President Trump pulled us out of that, there were a lot of commitments coming from private businesses and corporations, states, local governments. That's when we saw Northfield do its climate action plan. And there's a state climate action plan. And so this is basically putting some funds behind that plan to make sure that the energy that we make and that we use here in Minnesota is clean in that time frame. There's some intermediary steps in there. And then there's a discussion of like, what is clean? What is carbon free? You know, where does nuclear fit into that? Where does hydro fit into that? How about there's a trash incinerator, I think, in Hennepin County. So there's a lot of nuances and a lot of discussion around that has been happening for quite a long time.
And do you know that the bill, when they make a bill like that, you pull, is there some flexibility within it? If we decide, they're working on nuclear fusion right now, fusion. If that all of a sudden becomes a thing and it's affordable, is there room to pivot?
Yes. The word that I was joking with folks that I sit around on the floor was the number of times that the words off ramp were said, as well as tap the brakes, which I think is a little bit ironic because, of course, most of us are still driving fossil fuel powered vehicles. So to use the analogy of driving, but there are all kinds of offsets, off ramps, and opportunities to, you know, like our electric co-ops are really important, especially in rural Minnesota. So making sure that we're bringing along everyone, including the co-ops, if they are having a hard time meeting it, there's lots of flexibility in there with the PUC, which now I'm forgetting what that acronym stands for, on 5 hours of sleep. There's flexibility in there.
Okay, we got to move on to the next topic, and that is inflation and the forecast. You'll have a forecast coming out soon, if
next month. February forecast.
But you have passed a bill that will include inflation within that. I understand.
Yes.
Tell us about the importance of that.
Yes. So right now, there's a law that says that when the management and budget office does the forecast, they cannot include inflation. So that $17.6 billion that has been talked about as far as our surplus, and I've talked about it with you in the past, that does not include the new cost of things. And the reason that was put in statute about 20 years ago, because we had a governor who did not want to raise taxes, but was trying to figure out how to balance that budget. So it's a little bit of an accounting trick. We are the only state in the union who doesn't put inflation into the budget. So it's an inflated number for the surplus. This doesn't create any new money. This just gets us a little better aligned with what things are actually going to cost.
State Representative Christy Purcell is with us. One of the things I think people around the state are looking to this year is to get a bonding bill passed. You know, we didn't get that last year. Governor Walz has evidently unveiled his $3.3 billion bonding bill. This just happened. I know you were busy yesterday, but do you have an idea what's in that? And can you comment much at all about that at this point?
I can't, although I'm thrilled that the governor's come out with that. So mm-hmm. I'm excited to dig deeper into it. That's really a way we see a lot of projects become affordable, especially for communities outside the metro, communities mm-hmm. such as all of ours in 58A. So I am really excited to see what is in there. The bonding bill was another thing can kind of kick down the road from last session of things that didn't happen. It's not a bonding year, but because we have this cleanup and catch up, I'm thrilled to see that that is a thing that we might get moving on.
All right. Christy Purcell is with us from State Representative 58A. Anything else you'd like to pass along while we have you here?
I mean, if this was coherent in any way, shape, or form, I will be thrilled. So I'm hoping to work a nap in today, but have a few meetings in district today and hope to, I know the police chief reached out to me, and so I'm hoping that I can schedule a time that he and I can meet and mm-hmm. superintendent and sort of folks so that they don't have to come all the way to St. Paul to make sure their legislator is hearing them. And of course, people can email and call, and I'm doing my best to keep up with the volume of things. So appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you being here this morning on such a small amount of sleep. Much appreciated. Christy, thank you so much for joining us, and we will talk to you again next week.
Great. Thanks so much, Jeff.
All right. State Representative Christy Purcell. You're listening to 95.1 FM and AM 1080 KYMN Northfield.